Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, it seems that no matter where Jesus goes in the Gospel of Mark, there is the devil, or one of his henchmen, tempting, taunting, and terrorizing. Jesus meets him in the wilderness among the wild beasts and defeats him. Jesus runs into him in the synagogue and casts him out. Jesus encounters him in the tomb and sets the man free. He sends the demons to the swine and drowns Legion in the sea. And every time they meet, every time the Son and the serpent do battle, it is always a battle of words. Jesus' words always win, because Jesus' words work what he wants, do what they say, and give what he offers. This morning is no different. You have ears to hear. And what we hear this morning is again a battle of words between Jesus and Satan. Who do men say that I am? Jesus asks. Men say Jesus is a teacher. Men say Jesus is a prophet. Men say he might even be John the Baptist, risen from the dead. Men get it wrong, because they don't think the things of God, but they think the things of men. The world has the wrong words about Jesus. Then Jesus turns to his disciples and he asks, well, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, replies Peter. Peter gets it right. Not because Peter is super smart or super spiritual, but because this was revealed to him by the Father in heaven. Peter gets it right. Peter is blessed. Peter has the right words about who Jesus is, and Jesus praises him for it. But there's more to being Christ than Peter understands. Christ must suffer many things, be rejected by the chief priests and the scribes, be killed, and on the third day rise from the dead. To be Christ means to be unpopular, persecuted, put to death, and in the end, triumph over all the enemies of man. And this is where Peter now speaks for Satan. Taking Jesus aside, Peter has words with Jesus saying, this will certainly never, ever happen to you, Jesus. And all of a sudden, just like that, Peter gets it wrong. Peter's voice becomes the voice of the devil, because Peter's words are going against Jesus' words, and words that go against Jesus' words get Jesus' words wrong. Sure, Peter was praised for knowing who Jesus is. Peter is Satan for not knowing what Jesus does. Getting wrong what Jesus does gets everything wrong. Who Jesus is and what Jesus does are intimately linked together for the salvation of the world. Get one wrong, and you get the whole thing wrong. And then you're lost. Peter's mind was not on the things of God, but he was thinking the things of men. The things of men are under the dominion of another ruler. They get Jesus wrong because they're not thinking the things of God, because they're not under the dominion of God's word. Thinking the things of men is the way of old Adam. The way old Adam wants to go. This is the way of your fallen nature. The way your fallen nature wants to go, because this is the way that seems right to a man. This is the way that feels right to a person. This wrong way, this way that seems right and feels right, this way that gets Jesus wrong, it's the way we're all tempted to go if we fail to heed the words of God. The way of the world is the works of the flesh. And Scripture teaches that the works of the flesh are manifold. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And Paul says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why such immorality along the way? Because following a Jesus that doesn't die for sins doesn't take sin as seriously as Jesus does. And when one doesn't take sin as seriously as Jesus does, such a person doesn't really take Jesus' death very seriously either. Sin deserves death. Thinking the thoughts of men, thinking the way of old Adam, too many of us find ourselves sounding an awful lot like Peter. While not denying the death and resurrection of Jesus, certainly downplaying what he's done for us, and instead emphasizing a gentler, kinder, less offensive, softer side to the Savior. Thinking the thoughts of men, we much prefer to hear about God's love, how much he loves me, how wonderful I am to him, how proud he is to call me his own, how he rejoices over me. Sounds a lot like contemporary Christian music today, doesn't it? Thinking the thoughts of men, we don't really want to hear so much about sin, or self-denial, or suffering, and certainly not death, or even resurrection. Those are messy, earthy, and oftentimes what we consider unloving topics. They offend people. They offend us. They make us uncomfortable. And if there's one thing that we'll go to great lengths to provide for ourselves, it's comfort. We want the easygoing Jesus, the fun-loving Jesus, the never-get-sick, never-suffer-or-die kind of Jesus. In truth, we want a Jesus that doesn't do what Jesus says he's come to do, because we know that if we follow such a Jesus, we will have to do it too. Not for our salvation, but simply as the cost of being his disciple. Beloved, there is no room for error in Peter's words. Though Peter sets his words against Jesus privately, Jesus doesn't keep things private. Too much is at stake. Getting Jesus wrong, either his person or his work, is damnable. Jesus' words to Peter are words to all who would be Jesus' disciples. And once more, Jesus' words bring clarity to cloudy theology. He's very clear. Satan, get behind me. Jesus calls it what it is, because what it is demonic. It's contrary to God, and it's not the way of Jesus. Nothing, beloved, gets in the way of Jesus going to the cross. He is the Christ, and to be Christ means that he's come to save sinners. To save sinners means that he takes sin seriously. He takes your sin seriously. Sin deserves death. Your sin, my sin, the world's sin deserves death. But Jesus doesn't want you to die. Jesus doesn't want you to pay for your sins. Jesus doesn't want you to offer even one drop of your blood, one prayer of your piety, or one utterance of praise in his name. He doesn't want you to decide for him. He doesn't want you to try harder, try your best, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He doesn't want you to have your best life now or to make every effort to improve your relationship with him, all to save yourself. That is all the thoughts of men and therefore demonic. What Jesus wants is for you to repent and believe the gospel. And the gospel, beloved, is that Jesus takes away your sins. He who knew no sin becomes sin so that you can become the righteousness of God. Taking away your sins, becoming sin itself, cannot survive the justice of God. For sin deserves death, and so Jesus dies. Not for himself, for the sins he carries are not his own, but they're yours. He dies for your sins. He dies for the world's sins. He's not ashamed to take up his cross and carry this burden. He's moved by love. Love for God who sent him and love for you who need him. And love leads him to the cross. Love stretches out his arms, bares his back, and offers his brow. Love is set in place with nails and poured out upon the earth in blood. Love gives everything to save you, to forgive you, to redeem you, not with gold or silver, but his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Love dies, and love rises on the third day, because God is love, and nothing triumphs over God, not sin, not death, and certainly not the devil. Beloved, love is not ashamed to draw near to sinners. Jesus came to save sinners, not saints, for the sick, not the well, for the unrighteous, not the holy. He's left the 99 to seek out the lost one. He's lit his lamp and he searches the whole house, every corner of the globe to find you. He watches for insolent and ungrateful sons to abandon the pig slop and come home. God's thoughts are not our thoughts and God's ways are not our ways. That's why we need him to save us. Because we can't save ourselves. We can't think our way out of sin. We can't work our way out of sin. We can't feel our way out of sin. We need our minds to be renewed. We need our hearts to be regenerated. We need our souls to be redeemed. The words of Jesus give such things to those who believe on his name. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, Scripture says, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. If anyone is in Christ, he or she isn't supposed to be the same as they were before Christ. To be the same is to remain in sin, thinking the thoughts of men. To be in Christ means to be different than the ways of men. To be in Christ means to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. To be in Christ means to be regenerated by the washing of renewal in the Holy Spirit, whom he's poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ. To be in Christ means to be redeemed from the earth for God and from the land. Therefore, beloved, as a Christian, your desire will be for the Lord and not for sin. Sin will no longer have dominion over you. Satan will no longer have dominion over you. Your own passions and lusts will no longer have dominion over you. Yes, you will still sin, but such sin is not to rule you. When sin is given to rule over you, then you will have returned to your vomit and abandoned the Lord. In all things, beloved, be penitent and believe the gospel. Return to the Lord your God, and he will shower you with his steadfast love and mercy. Don't take sin lightly, but rejoice in him who calls you to die with him and to rise with him. Beloved in the Lord, this is what it means to be Christian. It's not only to believe, but it's also to work. It's not only to know who Jesus is, but to know and believe what he's done for you. It's not only to confess your sin, but also to take up your cross and follow him. Denying yourself, your desires, passions, and lusts. To be Christians means to be little Christs in this world. It's your identity, given you as a gift in baptism. It's who you are. Because it's who you are, it's also what you do. What you do is a reflection of who you are. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is dead. You're not dead, but alive in Christ by grace through faith. Faith in Christ and his word makes you a Christian. And good works, bearing the cross, suffering for his name, loving your neighbor, avoiding sin, are the outward marks of the inward renewal and working of the Spirit. Therefore, beloved, let your light shine before men. And let all give glory to God alone. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.
Amen.